Well, open your Bibles today. We're going to read out of 2 Timothy 2. I was blessed by Armin's prayer because it seems like a reoccurring theme is that lots of people struggle. There's a lot of struggle going on. And, you know, two weeks ago, Steph shared last week, but we talked a lot about, you know, it's kind of, there's times and seasons, and it's almost like we're in a season of war, not natural war like with another country, but inner war, struggles, trials, tribulations. And, you know, when you're in those kinds of situations, what's the normal response? Why? You know, why is this happening? And others are very willing to offer their input, like, I'll tell you why it's happening. Just like they did with Job, right? Well, the real problem is you're in sin, or there's a problem going on. But that's not always the case. And I want to just kind of continue along that line and just talk a little bit about endurance. And I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. So we're going to read straight through the text, and then we're just going to kind of look at it verse by verse and talk a little bit about it. I'm going to read out of the Amplified because it's great. There's a lot of great expansion there of language. So you, my son, be strong, strengthened inwardly in the grace, spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. And the instructions which you've heard from me, along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. Take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure as a first-class good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. If anyone enters competitive games, he's not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. It is the hardworking farmer who labors to produce who must be the first partaker of those fruits. Think over these things I'm saying. Understand them and grasp their application. For the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as risen from the dead, as the prophesied king, descended from David, according to the good news, the gospel that I preach. For that gospel, I am suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. Therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, with the reward of eternal glory. This saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny and disown and reject us. If we are faithless, do not believe, and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. Amen. Well, let's look at this and just begin to really go deep into the word. So verse 1, it says, you, my son, be strong, strengthened inwardly. And I want to talk about that a little bit because, you know, a lot of people think that all they have to do is just say, okay, Lord, here I am, strengthen me inwardly. But, you know, how many of you know there's a little bit more to that? You know, he wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be men and women, children, not only children, but sons and daughters. you know, conveying some maturity, which means that you have a responsibility as steward. What did King David said? Why so downcast? Oh, my soul, put your hope in God. You know, he was speaking to himself. He was saying, soul, why so downcast? Hope in God. And there's this element where we're called to speak to our hearts. We're called to cast down every vain imagination, right? And, you know, so many of us struggle with, you wake up in the morning, you feel great, and then what happens? All of a sudden, in the middle of the day, you find yourself in this discouraged, kind of mully grub state, and you're saying, what happened? I guarantee if you track down your thought life, you'll find that thought that caused you to plummet into that place. And when I speak of it's a season of war, it's a season where the people of God begin to realize they have a stewardship and they need to take responsibility over their minds and their thoughts. Every thought that comes into your mind isn't God just saying you're a loser or God saying you don't have enough. You should be so discouraged because you're facing a trial and you probably won't come out good. That's not all God speaking. God speaks encouragement. He speaks overcoming. He speaks hope. He gives you that strength to be able to overcome and cast down those vain imaginations. This is the season, when I say a season of war, it's a season where we're learning as mature sons and daughters of God to cast down and take control over our thoughts and sort things out with God's word. You know, so it's this place of prayer. It's a place of building ourselves up in our most holy faith. And the Bible says sometimes you don't know how to pray. So what do? You pray in the Spirit. And you believe that God begins to stir in your heart this hope and this unction, that then you begin to pray with understanding and begin to intercede and declare and begin to shift things because of the authority Christ gave you. The other thing is putting yourself in a position to hear truth. Hear the scripture. Hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. You know, and some of you need truth. You need to hear that, you know. And part of being part of a community like this is you get to come around others. And when you say, I'm a loser, or I don't know what, God's not going to provide, he hasn't provided for me yet in this terrible situation. Some of you need people who are filled with the word and truth and hope to say, no, that is not true. That is not true. Jesus is able to meet your needs. And you are not a loser. God has a plan for your life. We need to speak truth. We need to, as it says in verse 2, transmit and entrust this truth to those around us. Constantly releasing truth. And then there's this final kind of aspect of spiritual disciplines, because I've found this, one of the greatest needs of the body of Christ is that we will actually stop expecting God to do everything and roll up our sleeves and be willing to partner with him. And I found this a tragic thing. Most of us don't like to work. It is hard work. It's hard work. It is all the work of Christ. And he never intended us to live as mere humans. He never intended to give us a set of laws, because this happened in the Old Testament, right? They were given the law. And what did they do? They could not live according to the law. Why? Because we're imperfect. And he meant to give us the law, and he said, see, you don't measure up to my law, but I offer you Christ. And this is the amazing part of the gospel, is that man fell into sin and sin entered the world. And as a result, none of us are good. No, not one. Then Christ came. Jesus sent God Father sent his son to die on the cross. And that sacrifice on the cross became atonement for our sin, a free gift. So whether we're kind of good because we're not all the way good, or we're 70% good or 30% good, Jesus becomes the main, the only, the sole way to the Father. And we are made whole through Christ. This is amazing. This is good news. And then as a part of all of this, as Christ our source, he expects that we access that source. And this is why we can't throw up our arms and say, well, if Jesus wills it, he'll do it in my life, and then we just live like we want. If you want Christ in your heart, in your life, in your thoughts, changing you, transforming you into his image, you have to invite him and partner with him and say, Lord, I'll do my role. Speak and I'll obey. And then together we do it. You know, this happens in everything. It happens in our relationships, right? You know, if we're lacking in anything, we're lacking. Maybe, you know, maybe we feel alone or disconnected. Then what do? We say, Lord, I need you. And I need you to do something in my heart. And then we also say, what can I do to change that? And then we cooperate in a partnership with God, doing everything in our power to connect and relate and give of our lives that people would give back, and there'd be this healthy exchange. And then we say, Lord, I've done everything I could do. Now my faith is expecting that you are going to bring me to a place I couldn't reach on my own. It's a continuum of like surrendering to God, saying, God, do a work in me. And I'm willing to yield and cooperate with you, that together there'd be this amazing fruit that comes out of my heart. We were never meant to be mere humans. You can't be given a list of things to do and just do them all. You can't be that perfect. You can't be that strong. But we can invite the Lord and say, Lord, there's obviously a problem. I can't do what's in my heart to want to do. This is like Romans. So what do we say then? Christ is the answer. And so we pray and we ask the Lord to begin to pour out into our hearts. And through his grace, we're able. Does that make sense? Amen. Way to preach it, Sean. I love that. Verse 3, take with me your share of the hardships and suffering which you are called to endure. You know, when you typically read this verse, you think it's just talking about persecution. But I'll tell you what, as a good soldier or as an athlete or a farmer, that's the examples that follow, right? What is it talking about? Persecution is far more than just being persecuted because you believe in Jesus. Persecution is taking on the hardship of dying to yourself. Our whole walk with Jesus is one where we die and surrender our will and our ways, and we receive that resurrection of new life as we realize Jesus is my aim. He is my one, my all and all. And as we do this as a good soldier, no soldier entangles himself in civilian life. What is that? Well, civilian life is anything that doesn't benefit or further the mission. If you're a soldier, you have one thing you're living for. And in this scriptural text, it's talking about your aim being to satisfy and please the one who enlisted you. Who enlisted you? Jesus. So anything that is contrary or not beneficial or doesn't help you fulfilling the purpose you were born and enlisted by Christ in his incredible family, then we start to think differently about those things and make different decisions. Now, in a season of war, things are intensified. You know, it's a typical season, a time when maybe you're not going through a trial or, you know, a serious situation or a really tough situation that you're wondering, can I even make this? You know, the stakes aren't as high, but then when you're in a situation where you're ready to throw in the towel, and things are rough and you're struggling, you need to make a decision. what is essential to what God has called me to do now? And you begin to clear away some of that clutter and you begin to focus because you realize what decisions you make are critical in the season you're in. And I believe we're in a season, there's many people who are going through difficult times. And it's those times that you need to make some real decisions about letting those other things that drop that don't help you pressing through and overcoming and really apprehending Christ as your source and your strength that you need to go after. Then it talks about an athlete. He needs to compete lawfully, fairly, according to the rules. The hardworking farmer who labors to produce. Think on these things. I am saying apply them, grasp them. And this is what I'm talking about, this aspect of stewardship, not just saying, oh, well, the Lord's will be done. There is a recognition that we can do nothing outside of Christ. Acknowledging his power, acknowledging his might, acknowledging his ability to cause us to live superhuman. It goes beyond our human abilities. Question to you today is, do you feel like you're living as a mere human? Or do you feel like you're really accessing Jesus Christ as your source and drawing off his strength, drawing off of the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to live and be transformed beyond your ability? Think about that. Are you satisfied with this abundant supernatural life? Then begin to think on these things, meditate on these things, grasp them, apply them. And that's hard work. You can't just read through Scripture and just say, oh, that's nice. I feel a little warm today, this morning. You need to grapple with them. You need to ask hard questions like, what does this mean for my life? What does this mean for the way I live today? What does this mean for the goals I'm setting for this week and next month? Listen, if you're not happy with your life, change it. Change it. It starts with a really easy prayer. God, I am desperately dissatisfied right now. I need your help, Jesus. You pray that prayer and then be willing to take one step at a time. Forget about the 5-year plan. One step and say, okay, Lord, I took the step. Help me. I need you. Take another step. And then begin to set some goals and set some plans and begin to say, Lord, what would you have me do? And you know what? I posit this. You probably won't be able to do it alone. You have Jesus, but you need one another. And you know, I have this strong feeling too. Some of you are dealing with addiction. You're dealing with things that you feel trapped and you can't get out of. Jesus is your answer for real. But you have to be bold, and then you have to be honest, and you have to say to someone next to you, say, hey, listen, I need help. I want Jesus to change this part of my life, but I'm really struggling. I'm weak. I need you to walk with me. And you look to someone next to you and say, can you help me? Can you walk with me and see Christ show himself mighty in my life? Would you walk with me? Would you help me? This is for anything. You know, you feel like alone, disconnected, an island unto yourself. You do the same thing. You say, Jesus, I need help. And then you look next to someone next to you and you say, listen, can you help me? I want to believe God to help me grow. Verse 8, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead as prophesied king. See, this is the key. We're not just constantly keeping in mind Jesus dead on the cross. The cross is our atonement. That work, that blood sacrifice that he gave, that perfect spotless lamb, washes us clean. But then the power comes. He's raised from the dead And we're given access to this amazing power. And you can overcome anything if you'll receive that power from God. Don't believe the lie that it is hopeless. I have tried for 10 years. Nothing will change. You know what? You may spend 10 years of enduring, but I'm telling you, the hope is coming. That hope drives you to that fulfillment of that promise. Look at how many years Abraham searched for the city whose foundations came from the Most High God. And yet he died believing that promise. And I'm encouraging folks, God is faithful if you endure. You set your heart on him and you trust him. He will be faithful. And I don't care how insurmountable or how difficult your challenge is, he will bring you through. Verse 10, therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ with the reward of eternal glory. If we endure, we will also reign with him. I want you to, you know, when we hear the word, it's important. We don't only apply it to our own lives, we apply it to our culture, what's going on around us. Are you familiar with the Olympic doctor that, you know, molested a lot of girls? Well, I wanted to play a little clip here coming up. It's from one of those who was abused. And who's seen this already? Anyone? A lot? I want you to watch this. This is the perfect example of someone who's taken the word of God. They've died to themselves. And they've let Christ be resurrected in their hearts, and it's transformed the way they live. Watch this.
You have become a man ruled by selfish and perverted desires, a man defined by his daily choices over and over again to feed that selfishness and perversion. You chose to pursue your wickedness no matter what it cost others. And the opposite of what you have done is for me to choose to love sacrificially, no matter what it costs me. In our early hearings, you brought your Bible into the courtroom, and you have spoken of praying for forgiveness, and so it is on that basis that I appeal to you. If you have read the Bible you carry, you know that the definition of sacrificial love portrayed is of God himself loving so sacrificially that he gave up everything to pay a penalty for the sin he did not commit. By his grace, I too choose to love this way. You spoke of praying for forgiveness, but Larry, if you have read the Bible you carry, you know forgiveness does not come from doing good things, as if good deeds can erase what you have done. It comes from repentance, which requires facing and acknowledging the truth about what you have done in all of its utter depravity and horror, without mitigation, without excuse, without acting as if good deeds can erase what you have seen in this courtroom today. The Bible you carry says it is better for a millstone to be thrown around your neck and you thrown into a lake than for you to make even one child stumble. And you have damaged hundreds. The Bible you speak carries a final judgment where all of God's wrath and its eternal terror is poured out on men like you. Should you ever reach the point of truly facing what you have done, the guilt will be crushing. And that is what makes the gospel of Christ so sweet, because it extends grace and hope and mercy where none should be found. And it will be there for you. I pray you experience the soul-crushing weight of guilt so that you may someday experience true repentance and true forgiveness from God, which you need far more than forgiveness from me, though I extend that to you as well.
That's a perfect demonstration of someone who has been touched by the work of Christ and is willing to forgive. See, for her, Christ is her source. And it doesn't matter what she thinks. She says, it doesn't matter what I think because Christ living in me. I just feel like today there's a lot of folks here and you're going through tough times. I know it. I know it. And Christ wants to help you. And I just want to take some time to respond because, you know, it's amazing to me that he can hear from 100, 200 of us and answer everybody's plea at the same time. He's abundant. He's limitless. And what I'd like to do is just come to him and just begin to invite him into that place in your heart. Because, you know, you don't need a preacher to tell you what those places are. We live with them every day. We live with wrong thoughts. We live with judgments. We live with criticisms. We live with clear understanding of where we fall short, our insecurities, our frailties. We live with the guilt of sin that we've committed. And all this time, Christ is there saying, I am here for you. Will you receive my help, my assistance, my grace? And all we have to do is say, Lord, I receive. I ask that you come, Lord Jesus. I yield my heart, my ways, and ask you to come. Be my source. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And you know that guilt, that shame, washed away. Washed away because it's no longer you that lives, but Christ. He is the one. He is the way. And if you're here today, don't listen to that lie that says it's impossible. I don't fit. He doesn't love me. I'm not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. None of us are good enough. The difference is the wise will receive payment from a perfect, spotless lamb for everything in us. So let's go. Come on, respond to God. If you're here, whatever it is, whatever areas that you need Christ today, whether it's sin or whether it's just insecurity or you've entertained lies too long, lies about yourself, lies about others. Some of you, it's an invitation to just give up and let him come in and do a work in your heart. Some of you, it's repentance. Some of you, it's, Lord, I have royally messed up. And I ask you to forgive me. Let that blood cleanse my heart of sin. I need you. I can't do it alone. Come on, let's just take a minute and just respond to God here. You wonder how, just do it in your own words, your own thoughts. God knows you. He created your heart. Before you even speak, he knows. He knows you. He knows the thoughts. He watches you all day long. All you have to do is make that intent known right now to God. Come on, let's go. Let's just respond. Circle.